Big Blue Door is a theater group devoted to true stories, long-form improv, and comedy writing. From 2012 to 2015, Big Blue Door produced a live, monthly show called the Big Blue Door Jam, where people shared 6 to 8 minute true stories inspired by monthly themes. This story was told by Anna Jones in April. This story was told by Anna Jones in July of 2013. The night's theme was breaks.
Every summer in college, I did the same thing. I left Davidson, I packed up my little Subaru, I drove to my hometown, and I worked on my family's Christmas tree farm, as I'd done pretty much every summer of my life. And it was hot and sweaty, which I guess you can imagine pretty well. It was dirty, and it was actually kind of boring. So then I decided I wanted to do something a little more glamorous. I was going to stay in Davidson the summer break before my senior year. And I was going to work at a doggy daycare, which at that point was glamorous to me compared to farm work. So I had a great interview, and I loved dogs, and the owner said he was going to call me and schedule me for shifts, and that was the last I ever heard from him. I called that place back for weeks. I was already living there. I'd signed a lease, and nothing. So at that point, it became more about just finding any job, and that job was working at a pizza place. Right away, I knew that I was not the right fit and this was not the right place for me. Money was deducted from my first paycheck to pay for my super classy uniform, which was a shirt that was about 18 sizes too big that said 18 inches. Size does matter. I was the only one who really regularly washed their hands. I couldn't work the ordering machine. I couldn't reach the straws and the cups and the lids, and nobody seemed to like me. Not my boss, Terry, not Trey, the kid who came in one day all excited because he'd gotten stabbed at a party the night before. Not the part-time drug dealer. Only Luis was nice to me. Luis was the enormous El Salvadoran man who made the pizzas and the salads, and he actually talked to me. And when he found out I was an English major, he told me he had only read 2 books in his life. Not 2 books in English, 2 books, which I found fascinating. They were also pretty interesting choices, The Da Vinci Code, because of course, and The Portrait of Dorian Gray. My boss seemed to dislike me from the very start. On maybe my second night of work, he drags me and this other kid into the bathroom. He jabs a toilet brush into a bucket of bleach and just starts scrubbing down the stall. And he says, "When I come in the morning, you guys better have this bathroom clean. Because if I come in and this bathroom is dirty, I ain't cleaning it. I don't care if it's your day off. I'm calling you. You're coming in. And if it's not clean by the time we open, you're fired." I was like, Jesus, Terry. I had no idea why he was being so hostile. I hadn't even had time to screw up yet. But as this was my first job, really, and my first boss, who wasn't my very kind and supportive dad, I thought maybe this was just normal. But this was, in fact, my first clue that even if you don't give somebody a reason to dislike you, sometimes they'll just dislike you anyway. For example, one of the big perks there was that we got to drink as much soda as we wanted, which in a pizza kitchen, which is about 20 degrees hotter than this in a summer, that's actually a pretty big perk. And so at the beginning of my shift, I would pour myself a Diet Coke. I would mark diet on the lid because nobody else was drinking diet and I wanted to differentiate, and then I would put my cups over where everybody else did. And I would come back to take a sip, and every dimple on every lid would be pressed, and I had no idea which drink was mine. I suspected sabotage, though I think maybe just the heat was getting to me. I first thought it might be Trey. But then I thought, you know, a guy who gets that excited about having been stabbed at a party probably doesn't put this much foresight into annoying people. I was actually glad that Trey worked there. There's somebody more useless than me for my boss to get mad at. He got mad at me plenty. One day, he handed me a pair of gloves and a bottle of industrial strength degreaser and set me to work cleaning the front windows, because in a pizza place, everything gets covered in grease. So I was all excited to do a good job, because I always do, and I sprayed and I wiped. And I sprayed and I wiped. And I sprayed and I wiped, and they did not get any clearer. I tried every little window on the door and I could not get any of them clear. And then Terry came to check on me and he says, "Are you done?" And I said, I think that's as clean as I can get them. And he said, girl, you ain't done cleaning them windows. You better get back outside and come finish them windows. And this seemed to be a familiar pattern. Terry would ask me to do something like shred carrots, and like I would be given like the worst peeler, and I would find it impossible to do, and then he would chew me out. And as someone who basically was praised for her by her dad for like putting the lid back on a jug of motor oil or cleaning the clippers after I was done, learning that there were things I was not good at in a work scenario was a bit of a rude wake-up call. Not long after this incident, Terry takes me aside. He's got a performance critique for me, and he says, Anna, I know you're trying to do good, girl, but you just take too long to do these simple tasks. So here's what we're going to do. You know that gravel pit outside the patio where the smokers sit, and they're supposed to throw their cigarette butts in that bucket full of sand, but they don't? He hands me a pair of gloves. He says, we're going to go outside. I'm going to time you while you pick them cigarette butts out of the gravel. He was going to time me while I picked cigarette butts out of the gravel. When I told my sister this story earlier this year, this was a long time ago, she was enraged. Not just that another human being had felt it necessary to say that to me, but that I didn't quit immediately. But I've been raised to think that no matter what task you're given, it's important and you do it. And so I snapped on my gloves, and in the full view of passing traffic, I pried those soggy cigarette butts off the gravel. Well, school was starting soon, so I told Terry I needed to leave. I gave him my 2 weeks' notice, and then I also wanted to take a few days off before those, in my final week, I think. So I wrote Anna out on the calendar, and Terry thought that's when I was quitting for good, and I wasn't going to bother to correct him. And after my last shift, I didn't even come back to pick up my final paycheck. It was worth $6.42, never have to go back in there again. So I think that my glamorous summer, I worked for maybe 3 to 4 weeks, and I earned probably less than $200. I've had less glamorous jobs since then, disgusting jobs, and I'm sure I will again. I'm going to be a nurse. I've cleaned up vomit and feces and blood, but I've never had as humiliating of a job.
For more true stories, visit teej.fm. That's TEEJ.FM. For classes in storytelling and upcoming story shows, visit bigbluedoor.org.